Those two very refreshing words, and it was very nice to hear both of them. Amos chapter 4 and verse
I went and lost the page. You're ready for me, and I'm not.
Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Amos 4, verse 12, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." So just those words, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I'm going to say it again because I want you to remember them and to think about these words while we're speaking. Prepare to meet thy God, and Dale waited for you to finish when he left the blank. What about putting your name in there? Prepare to meet thy God, Are you prepared to meet God? I just want to read a little bit about a man who was prepared over in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, there's a man called Simeon. When the Lord Jesus was brought to the temple as a little baby of 8 days old for circumcision, and he brought his parents, just brought the offering of the poor. They couldn't afford the bigger sacrifices. They just brought the poorest of the offering. The Lord was born into a very, very poor family. And there was a man that was waiting for him there, and his name was Simeon. He was just and he was devout. There were many qualities that commended him, but he wasn't ready. Being just and devout was not all he needed. Being religious was not all that he needed, sincere as he might be. But he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's in verse 25. Now come down to verse number 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." This is Luke chapter 2, verse 27. "And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.'" And so, in both of these passages, there is the idea of preparation. There was a man who was prepared to go. He saw the Christ, and he took the Christ in his hands. He received him himself. You say, well, I think that rather makes it easier. If I saw a little baby and that's all I had to do was just take him, I would take him too. Well, you could take him tonight in this meeting. You don't have to go to the temple. You don't have to see a real little baby. Just by faith tonight, you can receive Christ. And like Simeon, you would be prepared to meet God. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared for that day? Brother Donald was speaking about my own father just tonight, just at the back when he came in. And he said, just the Sunday before my father died and under a tractor rollover, he said, my Uncle Albert passed the mic at the open air meeting. We used to have an open air meeting down in front of John McLean's garage. And Uncle Albert passed the mic to my father, and my father passed it to Donald and pushed him by the back out to go have a word out in front of everybody, and which he did. And then when he came back in, Donald here passed the mic to my father, and my father closed the meeting. And he just closed with the idea that we will be here in the will of God. We don't know if the Lord will come before we're here again. I'm just paraphrasing. And he says, we don't know, any one of us might be gone by next week or something of that sort. And my father was gone by the next week. But you know what was wonderful about that?
He was prepared.
He didn't expect to die that week, but he was ready. What about you? Could you stare death in the face, even as a remote possibility? Say, I'm ready. Don't want to go that way, but if that's what it has to be, it's okay. I'm ready. Or you say, oh no, I don't want to think about that. I'll push that to the back. I'll turn up the music. I'll watch something. The last thing I want to think about is dying. Listen, to think about dying doesn't mean you're going to die right away. But to think about dying is to think about how serious it is so that you would be prepared, so that you could be ready. And I'm not sure, maybe there's someone here tonight and it just hasn't dawned on you that you can actually be ready. You can be prepared. There is such a thing as knowing that when I close my eyes, or if I know sometimes people's eyes don't close, they come along behind and they close them because you don't even have the power in death to close your own eyes. That's how weak you are. You just give up and your eyes stay open, but the soul is gone. Do you know that you can be ready? That's what the gospel's all about. It's not being morbid. It's not thinking ahead about dying. It's not saying, well, I want to die today. I hope I die this week. None of us will get up Monday morning and say, well, very few of us, I don't think, there's something just not quite right. You should see a doctor if maybe that's the case. But none of us will likely get up tomorrow morning and think, my, this would be a wonderful week to die. Hope I'm in a car accident this week. I hope I take a heart attack this week. You say, we wouldn't do that. But every one of us could be ready, that if it happened this week, we would be ready. And that's what this Old Testament prophet is saying. You know, I sometimes relate to Amos because Amos didn't have all the right words. He was just an old farmer. That's all he was. He said, I was just a gatherer of sycamore fruit. I was just a seasonal worker. He said, I wasn't a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. He says, I'm the last person that should be sent to the rich people of the northern kingdom. He says, I'm from the south, and I'm poor, and I'm just a seasonal worker, and I'm not a preacher or a prophet. He says, I'm the last person, naturally speaking, that should be sent. But he was sent with a message from God. He was a little bit rough sometimes. He spoke to the women of the north, and he called them cows of Bashan. He said, you're making your husband go out and get bread for yourself. That's a bit rough. We wouldn't say that tonight. But Amos, while he had a burning desire to pass on the message, to prepare to meet God. Because there was a whole nation, and they were not ready to meet God. And they could be ready to meet God. And more than that, God wanted them to be ready to meet God. You're here tonight, and you maybe don't think you can be prepared, but you can be. And you might be here thinking, God doesn't want me to be prepared. I would like to be, but I can't get it, so God doesn't want me to be prepared. All wrong. God wants you to be prepared. In fact, God expects you to be prepared. And that's why you're here, to hear the gospel. Because that's how you are prepared to meet God, is when you accept the message from God, regardless of who preaches it, whether it's a diesel mechanic or a taxation worker, I think it is, or just a simple nobody like me. Regardless of who's preaching it, we have the same message, the message from God. We don't deviate. We read it from different verses, as has been the case tonight. But the message is all of the same, along the same line, that we must be prepared to meet God, and we can be. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Just think about these words. First of all, there is a preparation that must be made. It has to be. We have to be prepared. Is it possible we prepare for everything? You got a car? Do you ever think about the winter coming? You think, well, I should get new windshield wipers. Snow coming this week, and you thought, well, I really should get my winter tires on. You're prepared. There's a preparation that you recognize needs to be made. And in the simplest way, You just go ahead and you see if you can't do it yourself, you get someone else to do it. That's what salvation is. It's a preparation that must be made. You wouldn't think about facing winter without being prepared, but you are facing the winter of eternity. Absolutely unprepared. Not ready. Just to remind you again tonight, just the same as we prepare for every eventuality, we must prepare to meet God. There's a preparation that must be made. You know, there's two different ways to prepare. I don't like going away from home. And the preparation for going away, I put off and I put off. Much to my wife's chagrin, I put it off and I don't want to pack. And finally, at the last minute, I'm whining to her and asking for her help and throwing stuff in a bag. And there are two things, one of two things will happen to you if you're preparing. There's two main camps, I think, when it comes to packing. Some people throw in a pair of pants and a couple of shirts and a sock or two, and they say, there, I'm packed, I'm ready. And likely their wife comes along and shoves a few more things in because she doesn't want to look at them in the same two the pair of pants. But that's one way to do it. And that's called over-preparing. And I tend to over-prepare. I think about, what's the weather like there? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? Am I going to want to get some exercise and go around? Do I need my sneakers? Do I need my dress shoes? What do I need? And you know one thing, I'm always over-prepared? Unnecessary, but it'll keep you awake. I always take too many socks. I don't know why. I get there, and at the end of the time, there are a whole bunch of pairs of socks that never come into my bag because I just take too many socks. Do you know that when it comes to eternity, you can't be over-prepared? Absolutely not. There's only one preparation. In fact, there's only one thing you need. That's it. It's easy to prepare in one sense because you just need one thing. You just need Christ. And maybe there's someone else thinking, well, I kind of have a little bit of preparation, but I'm thinking about it, so therefore I'm kind of half prepared. No, you're not. You may be thinking about it. If you don't have Christ, you're not prepared. The Lord comes tonight, you're not ready. You die this week, you're not ready. Unless you have the one thing you need, which is a person, it doesn't matter how much you're thinking about it, you are not prepared. There's a preparation that must be made. And it could be tonight that you are just choosing not to think about it and you're going with that under-preparation thing and you're just saying, well, I'm going to wing it. There's an expression people say, I'm going on a wing and a prayer. That means I'm not really prepared, but I'm just kind of hoping it will work out. Don't treat God's salvation. Don't treat eternity on a wing and a prayer. It's Christ you need and it's Christ you can have. He has finished the work. You just take them, and you're prepared. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. Whosoever believeth in him has everlasting life. That means you're prepared. So, an action, a preparation that must be made. Are you winging it, overdoing it, or winging it? Then sometimes people wrongly prepare. You kind of need to know something about the place you're going, or you'll prepare wrong. Imagine if the climate cooperates with us and we go north. I suppose one of the biggest trips that I have to prepare the most for is going up north for the calendar work. You need to prepare for anything. You need to prepare for water. You need to prepare for snow. You need to prepare for everything, it seems. It just seems that a lot of stuff you take you don't need, but you got to take it just in case. But imagine if I was going to the north, where we have seen temperatures with the wind chill minus 55, and then people tell you I do it just for fun, but we'll leave that there. Imagine if I'm going to that kind of a climate and I take swimming trunks. It doesn't apply. And there are many people trying to live good in their neighborhood and do works for their neighbor, thinking that prepares them for heaven. What in the world does living on my street have to do with heaven? Heaven is a place with no sin. That's all you need to know. There's no sin in heaven. And if you have sins, you can't go. But if your sins are gone, you can go. That's all there is. So you need to know something about the place. There's no sin there. Have you ever sinned? Is there one sin of yours that is not covered and forgiven tonight? It's not sheltered, gone by the blood of Christ. If your sin is taken care of by Christ, you're prepared. But if it's not, you don't understand the place you're going. You've got wrong preparation. Religion does not prepare me for heaven. But there is work involved in preparing. And the Savior did that work. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He prepared heaven for us, but he went to Calvary to prepare us for the place. He does all the work. And all God wants from you, to borrow the words of John the Baptist, is to bring forth fruit, or the works meet for repentance. And that's what Amos chapter 4 that we read from is all about. He says, I dealt with you in these circumstances. I gave you pestilence. I gave you famine. I gave you rain. I dealt with you in every way. He said, I overthrew some of you, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet I spared you. He said, I spared your life while others lost theirs, and it's all to deal with you, that you would turn to me. It's all about repentance, turning toward God and receiving him, just bowing to his truth. Would it be true tonight if he was writing your story and say, I did this and this and this and this for you, and yet you haven't returned to me? I think it's four times in this chapter that's what he said to these people. And the call goes out one more time, and it's going out tonight one more time. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. A preparation that must be made. But there is an appointment or a meeting that cannot be delayed or avoided. That is to meet God. You know any way to avoid that appointment? No, it's beyond our power. We can't delay it. We can't avoid it. We can't ignore it. Well, we can, but it's not to your good. To delay, to try to avoid that? He's saying, no. He says, you will meet God at the end. Regardless of how much you try to avoid this appointment of meeting God, you will meet God. So the thing to do is to meet him now, when there's grace. Meet him out of court. Don't wait till the court date. Don't wait to the judgment. Meet him now, because today is the day of grace. Today is the day of acceptance. At this point, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. He can forgive it. It doesn't matter who you are, how much you know, or how little you know. It matters not at all. It's all what Christ did at the cross, and he did everything you need so that you can be prepared. And you can meet God tonight in this meeting simply by accepting Christ as your Savior. And you'd be ready. You would not be ignoring or delaying or avoiding that appointment. Meet him now. That's all. I'm just going to leave that point with you. Meet him now. Don't put it off and meet him as a sinner. Meet him now and he'll forgive you. Meet him at the cross. A meeting, an appointment that cannot be avoided or delayed. But thirdly, there's an accountability that cannot be ignored. He says, prepare to meet thy God, your God. Do you think simply by saying he doesn't exist that you can change your accountability to him? Do you think just ignoring God makes him not exist? Is there someone you don't like in your classroom or in your family, just ignoring him? Does that make it go away? No. Many a sister would avoid a brother, just ignore him and hoping he would go away, but he doesn't. Sisters are still there and brothers are still there. And they're still as annoying as ever. They're always going to be there, so to speak. And it doesn't matter how much you may dislike the principle of accountability to God. He is still there. He was there before you were, and he's still here now, and he will still be there at the end. Regardless of the viewpoint, the worldview that you take, regardless of how many scientists stand up and say everything evolved and there was no original cause, the whole idea is 100% ridiculous, that there's no original cause that caused everything to happen. Oh, they say it's energy. Well, it was energy with a plan, and we simply call that God. God was there in the beginning, and he will be there in the end, and he said he's your God. You've got to deal with him. You're accountable to him for the sins you've committed in the body. But then he says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And he comes up with a name, O Israel. He didn't say, O Jacob. You see, the man that bore this name first, Israel, he had two names. Jacob was the deceiver. He was the sinner. He was the supplanter. It was a man who wanted to do things his own way. But Israel was a man who took God at his word. He believed God. He accepted his promises, and he lived in relationship with God that God offered to him. And so when you see this, O Israel, and the name that is mentioned, there is an acceptance of an identity that must be entered by faith. That's it. You can have an identity with God tonight, saved, a saint, forgiven, but you've got to enter it by faith. There's no other way to be prepared and to enter into relationship with God other than putting your faith in God, in God's way, in God's Son, in God's Word. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Jesus is the Son of God, and Christ died for the ungodly. And a person who just simply takes God at his word can enter relationship by faith and be ready. They can be prepared. That's what Simeon did. He waited and he waited and he waited. And one day, here was Christ, just a child, just a baby, 8 days old. And there he was. And he could have turned and said, I waited all these years, but I don't know how to take him. No, he knew what to do. He saw him and he just reached for him. And he took him in his arms, and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared. God has prepared salvation for you so that you can be prepared. It's all found in Christ. And like our brother Luke reminded us at the very beginning, you've heard the warning. The red light is flashing. You're going to do it your own way? Are you going to bow to God's way and be prepared to not pay the ultimate price and lose your soul and be in hell when you meet God without Christ? Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Take Christ for yourself. Receive him as your Savior and be prepared to meet God. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus and for the work that has been done for us. There never could be a trip that could be easier to prepare for than a work where someone else has done all the work. And we give thanks that the work is finished. Just like Naaman had to listen to the message and go to a river that already existed in faith in the message from God, so there are souls tonight, and that's what we hope they'll do, that they'll simply come to the Word of God that already exists, and the work that is already finished, they'll bow tonight, heeding the warning message, and not going out and doing it their own way. We would pray that tonight there might be someone who will come to Christ and be saved and be ready to meet God. We would pray for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.